and clutching his shattered hand when the Steyr boomed. Eugene flew backward, his face no longer whole. In a flurry of motion, Mildred was at JB's side, along with Jack, one of his many knives cutting the man loose. Doc stared down at the man cradled in his arms, and the smoking pistol peeking out from his bloody bandages.
Dead?
Ryan jacked in a fresh round.
As a doornail. Good shooting.
He smiled weakly.
No problem.
Then a wail came from behind the stack of boxes along the wall. A man walked over to the faceless corpse.
Master?
The blood on the concrete was spreading into a pool.
He shot the master.
A woman pointed at the companions.
Kill them! Kill them all!
And the people charged, shooting weapons, a pack of snarling dogs at their heels.
Take cover!
Ryan dropped into a crouch. The rest of the companions dived into combat positions, their blasters firing steadily. The western gate was glowing a dull red, sending off waves of heat, and a terrible glare shone from the other side, brighter than the sun. Shielding their faces, the Sekhmet on the battlements fired their blasters blindly between the stone turrets, not willing to risk losing their sight by looking directly at the beast. Staves were shoved into pry holes, and men strained to tip over vats of boiling coal oil. The fluid sloshed over the rim of the vats, and hundreds of gallons rushed down fluted gullies to pour over the war machine below. The heat of the laser cannon ignited the oil, and the beast was engulfed in a fireball. More oil was poured down, while the guards steadily fired their blasters and tossed what few grens and plastique they had. Standing on the roof of the citadel, a lieutenant grimaced at the sight. It was impossible to see through the flames, but the fact that the gate continued to grow hotter was a strong indication their weapons were having little effect on the pre-dark monster. It was yellow-hot now, glowing like a furnace. Soon it would reach white-hot, then soften and melt. From the parapets, a bugle sounded a clarion call, and men rushed to obey. It sounded once more, holding the last note for a good while, and as it died, the whole wall jumped as explosive charges removed the hinges of the gate, and the sizzling iron portal thunderously dropped to the ground. The beast charged out of the inferno, its laser pulsing at anything that moved. A flimsy barricade of overturned wags barred its path, and the tank lumbered forward to crash through when the radar began to beep wildly in warning. But it was too late.
Fire!
The sergeant brandished a torch like a rifle. The short fuses of the hidden cannon were lit. They weren't the dainty field guns hidden among the slave cottages, but garrison guns, the bulwark of the Ville's armament. These monsters needed four horses to move them, took a charge of 10 full pounds of black powder, and fired cold iron balls so enormous it took 2 strong men to lift them into the muzzle. When they spoke, the world trembled. At point-blank range, the titanic cannons roared. Ragged pieces broke off the angular hull of the beast with a screech of tortured metal, and the laser winked out. Victorious cries came from the amassed troops, and again the cannons vomited flame and iron. Masked by the thick swirling smoke, the fiery daggers of the discharges reached out to starkly silhouette the beast. The bugle sounded briefly, and more troops joined the fight, firing their blasters from the battlements. Wet nimrods were rammed down hot maws to extinguish sparks, barrels were packed to the bursting point, and the cannons roared, their carriages leaping from the cobblestones by the force of the discharge. Rockets streaked in from every direction, adding to the hellstorm. Blasters never stopped. The dull thud of grens mixed with the sharp whomp of plastique, and huge arrows from the gigantic arbalists disappeared into the roiling smoke. Then the fiery lance of a law streaked in from atop the citadel, closely followed by the 4 whispering black birds of the Hafla, the deadly missiles leaving contrails in the foggy air. The volley became a barrage, a fusillade, a bombardment. The destruction seemed to go on forever, the lake of smoke swamping over the guards high on the stone wall. No longer able to see where to point their weapons, the Sekhmet held their breath and waited, weapons at the ready. Nothing seemed to be moving in the dense cloud of discharge fumes. The gray smoke was slowly thinning, but it would take minutes before they would know the results of their trap. Stepping over the bleeding bodies of men and dogs, Ryan walked to Leviathan and rapped on the side of the tank with the butt of his rifle.
It's over! Come out and finish putting the tires back on!
Doc bent and spoke to the people huddled under the vehicle.
You will not be harmed. We are on your side. Just fix the tank, then you can run away if you wish.
Several of the cowering slaves remained where they were, unsure of what to do. However, the rest crawled out from under the vehicle and slowly started to assemble the wheels, constantly glancing over their shoulders at the armed people standing around them. Reloading her pistol, Christy surveyed the garage with a practiced eye, searching for any more possible trouble spots, when she stopped and carefully walked over to a dead man. The ground was coated with brass cartridges from the Uzi, and walking was a tricky matter. She took the revolver from his warm hand.
Will you look at this? I'll be damned.
Found something?
Mildred pocketed her spent shells and loaded in fresh rounds. The redhead nodded.
This is the exact same type of blaster I lost in the city. Smith & Wesson Model 640, 38 caliber revolver, nickel-plated, adjustable sights, J-style frame, combat trigger.
She searched the man for bullets, finding the unexpected bounty of an untouched box. Then she solemnly laid the Ruger on his gaping chest in exchange. Christy hefted the revolver.
Thank you. The balance is perfect, not nose-heavy like that blasted Ruger.
Jack wrinkled his nose as if the weapon smelled.
Phew! Dirty.
Christy smiled.
So it'll take me a while to clean properly. Worth it. Fits in my palm like it belongs there.
Doc wiped some blood off his sword stick.
At last, your arm is complete. My compliments, Sweeney, on the good fortune.
Asking a silent question, Christy looked at Mildred, who shrugged in response.
I think it's from an old play.
JB walked among the dead.
I'm going to check inside, make sure everything is working.
Watch for traps.
Ryan never took his vision off the slaves.
You there, tighten the nut more.
The slave nodded and did as requested. Shard sat against a packing crate, bullet holes forming a pattern around him in the battered wooden slats.
Fellow slaves, hear me. When you are done, you can all follow us out of here to freedom. These aren't the new masters, but your liberators.
The guards also have blasters.
And who would dare to try and stop Leviathan, killer of the beast?
The workers whispered that among themselves, like a litany, and the work proceeded faster. Dean joined his father.
How many tires do we need?
Ryan scowled.
At least six. But we better have eight, though, just to be safe. The rest we can throw in back and put on when we get the chance.
Father and son watched the work proceed, and the lug nuts of the eighth tire were being tightened, when JB popped into view from the rear doors of Leviathan and whistled sharply. The companions hurried over curiously. As the interior of the tank came into view, they gasped in shock. The inside of the war machine was completely different. Velvet drapes lined the armored walls, hiding the lockers and supply racks. The floor was cushioned with a soft carpet. The chairs more resembled red velvet thrones, and red tassels dangled from damn near everything.
Check the console. They got gold leaf and silver embellishing the bastard controls.
Gaudy house.
I wouldn't know, son. I've never been to any place as nice as this, other than the Grand Hotel in Vermont.
Hey, look here! The ammo bins for the 75mm recoilless rifles are packed to the brim.
Jack checked the ammo boxes of the port 50-caliber machine gun.
Full here.
Dean rushed to the rear.
So are the 40mm rapid fires.
They rebuilt and reloaded everything. Must have been planning on using it as their private war wag.
We should thank them for the gifts before we leave.
Christy tried to activate the launch controls.
If we have missiles again, then we can put a couple of these babies into the Citadel.
She fumbled with the switches, but couldn't get a response.
Somebody start the engines. I want to get a reading on these.
Ryan moved for the driver's seat, checking for traps first, but the chair and dashboard were clean. Doc looked out from inside a cabinet.
We have a problem back here. All of the MRE food packs are gone.
What did the heirs replace them with? Roast quail? Caviar?
Doc closed the door.
Nothing. The locker is empty.
That's trouble.
Dean's stomach gave a soft rumble. He never seemed to be able to get enough to eat these days.